This is a production of Tripod Broadcasting.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's
all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
But yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, this whole beginning has to be thrown out because you burped. We had somebody complain on the website, actually write in a review on the website, I believe.
About burping, yeah.
Yeah, they concluded with, why do you guys burp all the time? And I didn't know we burped that much.
Well, no, it was one of the Breaking Bad episodes.
I mean, I know there's some burping, yeah.
It was one of the Breaking Bad episodes, and if I recall, actually it wasn't burping. I had the hiccups, and so I kept like swallowing,
yeah.
Kind of, and I kept
yeah.
being like, but I wasn't burping.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever burped on the air on purpose.
Yeah.
Back scratch and ball sack burped at the end of last week's episode.
Yeah.
But.
Well, back scratch and ball sack don't play by anybody's rules.
Yeah, it's
their
true.
Own.
They get paid to do their own thing.
If they want to end the show with a burp, they'll do it. There's
exactly.
No holding them back.
And they'll just pay the fine to the FCC.
Yeah.
Who, of course, hands out fines for burps.
Mm-hmm.
Tripod Broadcasting's flagship show, Give That Some Thought, episode, what is it? 18.
18.
18.
Yeah.
We're legal now.
We can buy cigarettes. And lottery tickets.
And lottery tickets. And what else?
Go to some of the strip clubs on the east side.
Yeah, we can go to war.
We can buy beer in Canada.
Yes.
We could also vote.
We can vote. I guess we could already get a driver's license.
Yeah, and we can assume an exorbitant amount of college debt. Before
yeah.
we really have any
yeah,
idea
no
what...
Yeah, no kidding. We can get $100,000
yeah.
in debt.
How
yeah.
personal finances
and,
work.
And not gain anything from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that noise?
Oh, they're here for us.
They might be.
I think it was sirens.
Well, joining me, as usual, I'm your host, Addison. Joining me is my co-host, Matt Hume, a man who hasn't been cool since Hawk Nelson had good music.
Really, you went with that line?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
all right.
You heard it earlier. I was hoping.
Hawk Nelson has never had good music, but it's true. The last time I was
cool
was
the first two albums,
2003. That was the last time I was cool. Like 18,
really?
19 year old Matt. Like 19, 20 year old Matt.
Yeah,
he was cool. He was a fat hipster, but he got around.
And now it's all gone.
Well, now it's just fat.
So you lost the hipster.
Now
it's just fat.
I used to be fat hipster, and I used to
fat,
get around.
Cool hipster.
Now I'm just fat hipster, or I'm just fat, and I am round. That's it. No, it's true. I'm not that fat, and I'm super cool.
Well, I was going to parlay this into a conversation about music, a brief
uh-huh.
one. I don't want the whole episode.
Oh, we can talk about music. We really haven't talked a whole lot about music.
Right, and here's my question. How have your tastes in music changed in the time that you... Like in 10 years' time, what
okay,
you like
yeah.
now versus 10 years ago, what are the differences and why? If you could pinpoint
10 years ago, I used to be all about going to shows. I used to be
and
all
about...
And
you were in your 20s then.
Yeah, I used to... shut up. I used to be all about going to shows. I used to be all about finding out, the newest bands and you know, indie, hip bands that no one else knew about and things like that.
Uh-huh. What types of, for example?
Neutromilk Hotel when they first came out, I was into the Strokes back in the day, White Stripes in 99 before anybody knew them, right before when they came out of Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, and a lot of, indie, local St. Louis bands too. Actually, a band that, a blast from the past from like 2004, I didn't know they were even still together, but the Rum Drum Ramblers is a local St. Louis
band.
The
Rum Drum Ramblers.
Rum Drum Ramblers, and it's a two-piece band, and they do like riverboat, kind of old-time rag style blues.
Really?
Kind of St. Louis feel, but just like drunken, disorderly ragtime blues.
That sounds kind of interesting, actually.
Oh, I wore out one of the CDs I got from them. I bought a CD. I think it had six or seven tracks on it. I got it from a show, and
so they just
I
play like
out.
Bars and things like that. Like they've never
yeah.
toured.
But
anything.
They're playing some bar. I think tomorrow night or Wednesday night, maybe.
Really?
Not
you
sure.
want to go?
I probably have stuff going on, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to cost that much.
That'd be
anyway,
interesting. I'd really like to get a feel for Matt music. Or maybe I wouldn't. Who knows? I don't, I might hate that.
Yeah.
But I've liked what you've given me. Didn't you kind of have an eye on the what's that band that became really popular? Didn't you have an eye on Mumford & Sons before they kind of took off?
Yeah,
a little bit.
I remember 2008, I burned, no, not even that. It was late 2007, 2008. I burned a copy of their first album and gave it to my sister. Mm-hmm. This is back, you know, so far ago that people were still burning CDs.
Right.
Gave it to my sister.
Instead of everyone just streaming everything for like $6
I burned
a month.
It for myself. And I didn't really dig it that much.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I just wasn't crazy about it. I gave it to my sister, and she fell in love with it. And that was maybe a year before they super big. But because I think that was 2009 when they kind of exploded. But yeah, that was kind of the last band that I was ahead of the curve on.
Really?
Pretty much.
Everything else now you just consume as it comes out. So
pretty much. I'm pretty late to.
Are you excited for Katy Perry's new album?
let me answer that in two parts. No, and the second part is no. Both no.
Both no.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm not noted. Excited for.
But
not a
you
Katy
also,
Perry fan.
And it should be noted, and you and I share this. You also have a affinity for some of the hip hop.
Some of the hip hop.
Kanye.
I was a big fan of Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, that album in particular. The rest of his stuff I'm kind of on, but I love some Wu-Tang Clan. I was in the car with my brother today, and we got on some weird conversation, but we started naming rappers, and I named all of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Nice.
And which maybe a 2 months ago or so, was over Dano's, and we're talking about Wu-Tang. Maybe
mutual
you were
friend of ours.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe you were there. We were talking about rap, and he challenged me to name all the members of the Wu-Tang Clan.
No, I don't think I was there.
And I did it.
Yeah,
I'm a baller.
I'm like really that. Into the Wu-Tang Clan. Uh-huh. I guess I would say 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was probably into a lot of. I was probably not allowed to listen to a lot at that point because I'm only 25, so that would have been 15.
Mm-hmm.
And
the parents still had the lockdown on them.
Yeah,
it's
true. Yeah, but due to that, I would listen to the radio a lot, and I was into a lot of what is now like old like rap that no one listens to.
Yeah,
because it was popular at the time, and it's not really popular anymore, and it's just kind of that top 40 stuff that faded, but that sort of segment is it really hits with me. Like 50 Cent's really old stuff, first album, second album. A lot of Eminem. I really dig Eminem.
Yeah.
A lot of.
See, for me though.
Well, I mentioned Hawk Nelson also because I had a slew of Hawk Nelson, all of Skillet's early stuff. I'm not a huge fan of their last two albums, but really big fan of their early stuff.
Yeah.
Who else? Hawk Nelson, Skillet. Who was somebody else? Oh, I was big into Josh Groban then, too.
Okay.
Real big into Josh Groban. I can't think of anybody else.
Really. Josh Groban.
I'm a closet Grobanite. Well, I guess it's not closet anymore.
No, but you just came out and said it
on a podcast. I came out on our show.
It's on the internet. It's true now.
Yeah, I'm coming out on this show.
You're Grobanite. You came out for Groban. Came out to support Groban.
Dude,
Groban.
That voice. Man.
I don't think he's got that great a voice. I don't.
Really?
I mean... Technically, yeah, it's a great voice, but like his vocal quality, vocal style, just the
we
just
both agree
the sound
on Adele though, not, in terms of good voices too.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not really bad. Related, but I do really like her right now. Yeah, and then right now, I guess I don't know. Like I live in the past when it comes to music.
Yeah,
like,
me too. I stopped paying attention and caring.
I mean, you probably listen.
It's too
farther in the past. But.
Well, yeah, but it's too much trouble to stay up on good music anymore. It really is. There's just too much out there, too many sources.
Yeah,
it's just,
well,
it's tiring.
And that's
it's like,
the thing.
Okay, come on.
Because they all said
I'm overloaded by possibilities of bands. It's just I wish people would just stop making bands. You don't need any more. It's one thing. Like our economy does not need any more bands. We do not. The last thing we need is a bunch of 20-year-olds getting together,
making music,
and talking about their opinions.
Yeah,
and then making music. They're not doing anybody any good. Just stop it. Stop it already. You're not get a real job, contribute, pay your taxes.
Okay,
be
this
a
is,
good
this
citizen.
Is, this is Grandpa Matt.
It really
get
is.
Get off the lawn. Well, no. Here's the point I was going to make about that because everyone said that like the internet is going to change the way we consume music, and it certainly has. But everyone was like, oh, it's going to be so easy. And, you know, Spotify has, like, the social feature, and you can share bands and see what people are listening to and things like that. But like you said, I mean, I was on Spotify for a while. I was a paying customer of Spotify, and it was nice to have it, you know, on my mobile or desktop stream anything I wanted all the time. But it was too much. It was like you just keep listening and listening and listening, and you're down like a rabbit hole, and then I'll just I'll just go back to Eminem.
Go back to what you know.
Yeah.
At a certain point, that's kind of what it is. Like, you just get too overloaded with choice, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to stick with just the same song I've heard 400 times already. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to stick with a burger and fries.
Yeah.
Eminem and some Jay-Z.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go wrong there.
Well, you can go wrong there.
With Eminem and Jay-Z? I don't think you can.
Yeah. I mean, as far as rap goes,
well, you don't like Jay-Z at all. But you really like Watch the Throne.
I didn't really like Watch the Throne. It was an okay album.
What?
But it was. There are a couple songs on it I like, but it's not a great album. Not in my opinion.
Okay.
And I don't hate Jay-Z, but I don't think he's the superstar that people make him out to be. He is a superstar, but he's not the great rapper.
In terms of talent, you don't get what everyone else makes it up to be.
You could be as talented as you want to be and still not achieve any sort of artistry. You could be super talented.
And you think that's what he does.
And not achieve any sort of art with your music.
Yeah.
Or really not say anything meaningful.
Yeah.
I think Tupac was an artist. I don't think Jay-Z's an artist. Talented, yes.
Yeah.
Good at what he does,
yes. Super talented, yeah.
Superstar, yes. Yeah. Famous, absolutely.
Yeah.
An artist.
Tons of money, beautiful wife, kid.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, he's a hustler, he's a baller, but he's not an artist.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever listen to Notorious?
Not really. I mean, I've heard some stuff, but not too much. He's no Enter the Wu 36 Chambers. I'm just telling you right now. it's not. The Wu-Tang Clan was, those first couple albums, just artistry. Just up and down.
I need to listen to those. You've been telling me this for years now.
I don't know why we're not listening to Wu-Tang Clan right now. Let's stop this podcast and throw on some Wu Symphony.
Yeah, let's just make it like a 10-minute episode. And or 15 or whatever we're at. Yeah. And then let's just quit it and listen to Wu-Tang for the rest of the night. Anyways, moving on. I'm so tired of, I say reporting, but I'm so tired of talking about this story. But, I have to, and it just...
Miley Cyrus again?
Yes, actually. Oh. No, actually, you brought it up.
No.
But apparently she was apparently she was on SNL, and it wasn't bad. I didn't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so condescending.
Well, just the terminology, not bad. Like, colonoscopies are not bad. I don't want to see them or have them every day.
Let me make a quick point
about
this kind of thing.
But they're not bad for you.
Let me make a quick point about this kind of thing.
Prune juice isn't bad for you. Don't want to drink it.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Here's the deal, though. When anyone, whether it's a musician, an actor, a personality, a spokesperson, whatever it is, has the ability to do things that they know are making fun of them and where they're at in their career, I really dig that. Mm-hmm. Even if I hate everything about who they are.
So she did a little tongue-in-cheek thing? A
couple of examples, yeah. Her on SNL, that most recent Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, when Justin Bieber went on there, I thought that was so cool. Like, because the whole thing was making fun of him.
Yeah.
Like, his opening line was, it's so great to be here with you in the middle of your public meltdown.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, so if you have enough of a third-person view of yourself to be able to do something like that, I can respect that. Another one...
Well, I think it's because a lot of these people know that they're playing a character. They're playing a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they absolutely are. And their handlers, I'm sure,
like, it's their real life,
are eating
sure,
it up.
But
they're eating up the checks. They're laughing all the
they're
way to the bank.
They're still playing a character.
Yeah. Another one was...
They're playing to expectations and what gets them attention.
I think it was a year or two ago, Rush Limbaugh was on an episode of Family Guy.
He was,
that
well,
ripped
a year
Rush
or two
Limbaugh.
Ago, Rush Limbaugh was on everything because he's that fat. But go ahead.
No, but he was on Family Guy and he played himself.
Yeah.
And all the right was like, you know, how could you be on such a dirty show? And don't you see they're making fun of you? And he in a statement, he was like, if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? I was like, well, okay, I can respect that.
Republicans.
I agree.
Republicans, that's who you can laugh at if you can't laugh at yourself.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this
really
story.
Really bad mimes you can laugh at?
It's from the Washington Post. The headline is, NSA collects millions of email address books globally. It's by Barton Gellman and Ashkan Sultani. Rather than targeting individual users, the NSA is gathering contact lists in large numbers that amount to a sizable fraction of the world's email and instant messaging accounts. Analysis of the data enables the agency to search for hidden connections and map relationships within a much smaller universe of foreign intelligence targets. During a single day last year, and this is from an internal document, during a single day last year, the NSA's Special Source Operations Branch collected 444,743 email address books from Yahoo, 105,068 from Hotmail, 82,857 from Facebook, 33,697 from Gmail, and 22,881 from unspecified other providers, according to an internal NSA PowerPoint presentation. Those figures, described as a typical daily intake in the document, correspond to a rate of more than 250 million a year. Mm. And it just goes to show that the original fear, or not even fear, but the original story, the original idea of the United States, the NSA is spying in massive amounts when it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Is absolutely the case.
Well, yeah, and now they don't just want to know or look after people. In particular, they also want to look after everybody that person is talking to.
Yeah.
So if they choose to target somebody, it's not just that person they're targeting; it's everybody that person knows.
Yeah, it's true, and
yeah, being able to build networks and being able to predict people's actions based on their network of people, and who else might be involved in whatever they're looking at. Yeah.
Well, it's huge in terms of the fact that these are Americans. Like, it doesn't really indicate that a single one of these is foreigners or people that are communicating with foreign people that could be a threat or have been identified as a threat or anywhere close to being a threat. These are all Americans. These are what you and I do on Facebook.
The American government is afraid of its own people because they know its own people are unsatisfied with its government.
Yeah.
And yeah, once we've had enough, eventually, I guess something will happen that people will rise up and.
What do you think it'll be? I mean, because you know, I was just like looking at some headlines today and looking at like, you know, between the shutdown over ridiculous reasons, which we've covered before, between this NSA thing, between a story we're going to cover here in a minute about the value of the dollar. Like, what is it really going to be? Like, I feel like it's going to be when we can't access those things that we're so used to. Like, when we can't flip on the TV and get whatever we want, and when we can't turn on the internet and
I was about to say what you just said, and that's exactly it.
How sad is that?
Our limit will be when the internet finally goes down. When they finally take the internet away from us and take our porn and our social networks away from us.
Yeah.
That's when we'll finally put our foot down and be like, hold on a minute. And they're already kind of taking our social networks away from us. And they're already monitoring our porn.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. The minute we can't upload selfies, that's the revolution at that point.
And there's some people out there with some weird porn. And the government has to look. Yeah, you cannot unsee that, government. You've seen it. You can't unsee it.
Yeah, it's
deal with that sadness and despair in your lives, government.
For many, many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, last night, I mean, we're recording this on Monday night, last night, and moving on to the next story. The Walking Dead draws a record 16.1 million viewers.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that more than the Breaking Bad finale?
That is more than the Breaking Bad finale. I know.
This country is...
that should be revolution right there.
Yeah, this country is ruinous.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because I think Breaking Bad was 10.6, 10.3, whatever it was,
and
10 million.
Blew it out of the water.
Well, this blew it out of the water, and apparently this is 5 million viewers better than last year's 10.87, and more than double when it kicked off its second season at 7.26 million.
Yeah, so it's just getting more and more popular.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And I think kind of twisting that into a discussion about new media and things like that and how we consume. I think that is so dependent on services and sites like Netflix, you know, because people look them up do you watch this show? No. Oh, yeah. Go check it out. And then they go and look on Netflix. Well, and then who tunes in last night are all the people that have caught up.
Well, they realize that no one wants to watch TV, an episode of television apropos of nothing. They don't want to just come into a season of a television show or of a series blind and not knowing what had happened before.
Yeah.
They want context to the story.
Well, now there's a legal, really good, easy-to-use means that you can... I mean, you sign up for Netflix, you get your phone, your TV, whatever you want to watch it on, you know?
Yeah.
So I can catch up on my show any way I want.
Yeah. You know? And I know for my busy on-the-go lifestyle, Netflix is just what I need.
Yeah.
Netflix, only $8.99 a month for streaming, $7.99 a month for DVD service.
Other way around, but yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. Netflix, why? Netflix, there's no reason you need friends.
Netflix, turning every poop into a magical one. That's not. I've never watched Netflix while I'm pooping. I don't know that I could.
Netflix, because The Office will never not love you. No, I tend not to watch things when I poop.
Yeah.
I like
to read, but no.
A magazine, a book, the back of the shampoo bottle.
Reddit. I'll do Reddit. I'll scroll the front page on the phone.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, the go-to.
Well, I could watch Netflix on my phone. That's what I'm saying. I could easily watch Netflix while I'm pooping.
Yeah. Well, that's probably when society itself will break down is when we can no longer watch browse Netflix. The internet while we're pooping.
Yeah, it's true. We'll all have to go back to
being bored when we poop. Yeah.
Well, especially poops and
thinking, reflecting on our wasted lives while we poop. That's the purpose of pooping. It's to make you stop and reflect on all the waste that your life is expelling.
Yeah.
into the world and other people's lives.
Uh-huh.
And reflect on
and we don't have that anymore.
How terrible you are.
Name a time when we do that.
Uh-huh. It's to reflect on your own personal internal dirtiness.
Yeah.
That's coming out of you. And yeah, we don't that's do it anymore.
That might be a good point.
I think
is that true?
Yeah, it absolutely is true.
Okay.
It's not a wild crackpot theory I just came up with. It's not something I didn't even think about before I started talking about it. It's definitely not. This is the internet.
Not at all.
It's true.
Well, the internet
is always
true.
I can't lie. I can't say something that's not true.
The next headline, also in television news, and I don't think you're going to like this.
Okay. Sex in the City 3 coming back?
No. I would be excited for that.
Oh, okay.
Those are good movies, man. If they make another Sex and the City movie, we're totally going. Just so you know.
No.
Yeah, we are.
Or are they making a TV show out of We Are the Millers?
No. It was We're the Millers.
Oh, okay, whatever.
And that was okay. That was kind of funny.
We're versus We Are. Okay, yeah.
Whatever. That was kind of funny. What's his face was in it? The guy from The Office. Andy. What is his face? His actual face, not his office face.
His actual face?
His actual face. What was his actual face? Andy. He was in the Hangover movies?
Yeah. Who cares? Move on.
Yeah. But it's just weird.
Somebody out there is being like,
it's
blah, blah, blah,
so,
name.
I know, because I've done that before when I'm listening to stuff. And
He was on the Daily Show for a while.
I don't watch that. the headline
Stephen Colbert. That's it. Stephen Colbert.
That's who played Andy?
Yeah.
In The Office.
Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Noted.
Yep.
The headline is, millions flock to watch sport that doesn't mean anything. And here's the story. In the last 2 weeks, numbers are showing that millions of people are tuning in on their television sets to mindless events that do not affect daily life in any way, while distracting the populace from things like the government shutdown and the debt crisis. These people are uneducated and willfully distract themselves from reality by engaging in the senseless viewing of these so-called, quote-unquote, playoff sporting events. Viewers are finding themselves, in many cases, being unable to hold a conversation on any other topic, and instead have taken to communicating with everyone around them in a monotone drawl about what they consider to be the most important thing on the planet, sports. And that's an actual news story.
From what? From what website?
Well, I don't have it here.
StuckUpStupidOpinions.com. It's an op-ed piece.
Well, that's your homepage. Don't hate on that. No, it's. I'm sure I found it.
I sold them the naming rights to StuckUpStupidOpinions.com.
We should totally register that. It's not available, by the way. And just let you blog on it. Just yeah. No, yeah, it's
some kinds of cheese are bad.
Not all, and I use some for cooking, but other ones are bad.
Peter Pan peanut butter is a top shelf brand. What are you talking about?
See you all tomorrow. No, that's an actual news story. It's from a news site, a reputable. It's from new. It's
news.com.
It may have been
real news. This is not made up.com.
Yes, that's okay. Where it was from. Yeah, and I pulled it and I read it. And
real news, Addison did just write this himself while he was on the recliner 20 minutes before the show.com.
Yes.
Okay. That's cool. Totally believable.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
But no, you're complaining because everybody around you, this is St.
Yes.
Louis. This is,
I know. I hate
St. Louis, Missouri.
It. We've been over this.
Of the United States of America. This is the St. Louis is the capital of baseball. You can, I'm not going to say.
You're probably right.
I'm not going to say.
I mean, I'll hand that to you.
I'm not going
to
say we're the best sports fans. out there. I'm not saying we're the best baseball fans or we're the classiest or we're the most knowledgeable or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, even though Sporting News named us three times best baseball fans in the world. Anyway, not gonna reference that. Not gonna talk about how all LA Dodger fans are all bandwagon jumpers. Not gonna say anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am gonna say, St. Louis is a damn fine baseball town. We respect the game. We understand the beauty and the nuance of it. We have reverence for and practice the Cardinal way.
Listen to the things that you're saying about a sport. I hope you listen to this show after it airs.
I'm a fourth-generation Cardinal fan.
And you consider what is everything that is wrong in your life, in your Cardinal life.
My Cardinal fan lineage goes back four generations.
What does it even mean? That's not even possible.
Back to the 19-teens. Back to the original St. Louis Browns.
I hate it's okay. Here, and if I may have a moment to articulate where I'm coming from,
I can trace my lineage back to people who went to games to watch Roger Hornsby, who went to games to watch 17-foot singles. Okay,
what does that even mean?
And one to nothing after 15 innings.
17-foot singles. The is dead that ball the
area. No, like you know, they hit the ball 17 feet because it was in the dead ball era when they did. You know. I don't know.
You keep saying, you know, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Where before they started winding the ball really tight, when if you had like a monster smash, like a big hit, like it would go over into the outfield grass, and that's pretty much it. You couldn't hit the ball very far. Like 150, 200 feet would be just a bomb.
Really?
Yeah. And now we have people who hit the ball 600 feet. Yeah. And, you know?
Yeah.
Stupid. Steroids have ruined the game of baseball almost.
You're so opinionated about this. Anyways, no, if I can articulate real quick.
But yeah, St. Louis Cardinals are going to win the World Series this year.
That's
opinion. Dodgers really don't stand a chance.
And neither is it true.
And the Red Sox are kind of chumps. No one likes the Red Sox.
You're at doing this to piss off our listeners.
At least intelligent, discerning people with
because you know that a regular listener
and manners.
I'm and sorry to our listeners.
Wisdom who... and intelligence and morals and fortitude and longitude. And
latitude,
a good attitude.
And attitude. And fatitude.
And a matitude.
And
they know that the Red Sox are a terrible team, and no one should root for them. And if you root for them,
why
you might as well
so terrible,
be a Neanderthal.
Though?
The Red Sox?
Yeah. Is there a reason, or are you just saying that? Are you just
pulling
it out of your mat?
Because they're the Red Sox. Because they're a terrible, terrible franchise who buys their championships and... Yeah, no one really likes.
Well,
him.
If I can going back to my original point.
Okay, go ahead. And they're an American League team, and everybody knows that the American League sucks. Okay, you know what? I'll stop about baseball,
please. I live in St. Louis, and the thing is, we're really into baseball around here.
No, there's no we because you aren't. It's us. It's the rest of us.
No, we is in St. Louisans, and I'm a St. Louisan.
Yes, but you're not a real St. Louisan because you don't like baseball.
Okay, be that as it may.
That's the truth of the situation.
Anyways, I'm not a huge fan of baseball. I enjoy going. I think I went 5 or 8 times this year. I got free tickets.
You like going to games?
A number of times.
It's a lot of fun. It's the atmosphere, if you don't like the game.
I like eating a hot dog, maybe some nachos, having a beer at the ball game. I enjoy the atmosphere. It's fun.
It's a good time, right?
Yeah.
See?
But what I don't like is the fact that I don't follow baseball. I don't during the regular season. I certainly don't now. I mean, to me, it doesn't change until you're in the World Series. And so what happens now all the time is people who never want to talk baseball, people who don't talk baseball 340 days out of the year now want to talk baseball
because
all the freaking time.
Everybody in St. Louis is a baseball
fan. At school,
fan.
In the bathroom,
and we're
out
very
in public.
Understated
and I'm
about
just
it.
Saying that that's annoying for someone who doesn't want to talk
on,
it
on.
Now, just like the rest of the year.
First off, you're insecure that you don't know as much about baseball as, say,
no, I just
your
don't
average
follow
sixth
it.
Grader living in St. Louis.
If I wanted to keep up with it, I could. I have a phone, a TV, and an internet. I can keep up with it just as anyone else.
Number two, St. Louisans follow baseball. Baseball fans in St. Louis follow baseball, and they're always ready to talk about baseball. However, we don't get overly excited about it or overzealous about it until this time of year, until August,
then I don't
September.
Because I'm
October,
I'm the same way I am
playoffs.
Now as I was catch me in July.
But
you catch me in July, I don't want to talk about how we're doing or where we are in the league. I don't want to talk about it now either.
But as things are
nothing's changed.
Like every season, the Cardinals fans and any baseball fan looks forward to their team winning the World Series. Right. And it's a culmination.
So when we're playing the games that will ultimately win or lose us the World Series, I will pay attention and watch them and enjoy them.
It's the games. It's the games leading up to that that are also very exciting.
Well, you either win or you lose. There's no point to watching them.
Do you remember 2011, 2 years ago, when the Cardinals were like 12 games behind or 19 games behind with a month to go?
No. I wouldn't remember
they
that.
They kept winning and winning and winning, and people said the Cardinals are out of it, and they kept winning and winning and winning, and people, it was palpable, but people were like, oh my gosh, we can't believe it. Do you think we can keep this up all the way? And that's what she said. And then we kept it up all the way, and we made the playoffs by the skin of our teeth, and mm-hmm. then we're facing elimination, and we won, and we're facing elimination again, and then again, and we won, and we won, and we beat, you know, the Texas Rangers to, you know, win the whole thing, and yeah, it was an awesome time.
I do remember that, yeah. I watched the World Series. When my team is in the World Series, the St. Louis Cardinals, when they're in the World Series, I watch the games. As I will this year if it happens.
So next Monday, you and I will be watching the game, glued to the set.
You'll be more glued than I will be.
Well, yeah.
I'll be concerned with why the server hasn't come by with a refill.
Basically because I'm really sticky all the time, but...
I'll be concerned with why the server hasn't come by with a refill and why my wings are cold.
Oh, there's servers and wings in this scenario for you? Because to me, there's baseball.
We're not
matters.
We're not going to watch
it's
it here.
It's baseball.
And we'll watch it, you know. If you don't go somewhere and watch it, I'll take you wherever you want to go.
Okay. Disneyland.
We can look into that.
Okay.
We can take a tripod trip.
Well, I mean, the station should be able to.
Tripod trip
to Disneyland.
With your two best buds and Mickey Mouse.
Matt and Addison, where dreams come true. And people like you.
They're best friends and buddies, but not butt buddies.
I was about to resolve the melody. And actually make it make sense, but then you went off on
what?
Your tangent.
I made it made sense. I wanted to.
Yeah, but it
I wanted
wasn't,
to, I wanted
it,
to make,
you the
make
same
sure the listener knew that
we
were talking.
Yeah, but you weren't catching on to my melody.
Wanted to make sure the listener knew that we were singing to each other, like, but we weren't butt buddies.
Yeah, but the
is that okay?
The first, when
is that
you
okay
started
for
singing,
me to clarify that?
When you started singing and then I came in, like, I matched buddies. Your melody, and then you went off with the, like, came in with a different melody.
Well, I don't know music, so yeah. Whatever you're saying is probably true.
You don't know music to be able to, like, never mind.
I just wanted to clear up the butt buddies thing.
Who's not butt buddies?
You and I, we're not butt buddies.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously. That should be obvious from people who've listened to this show.
Well, I'm making it clear, because yeah. We just sang to each other.
Uh-huh.
So it might have become a little murky there.
Yeah, we're just friends who have seen each other's packets. That's all. That's all.
Whatever you choose to believe, listener, is more than up to you. No, that story wasn't a real story,
yeah.
Obviously. It was just...
But yeah, baseball.
Farting around.
Baseball, October in St. Louis. It's a fine time of year.
Everyone is red, and it's gross, and it's just, I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just stop talking about baseball. You don't do this in July.
You brought it up.
No, I mean, I'm talking to the whole city. Like,
okay.
They don't do this in July. Like, why do it now?
Well, yeah, they do.
Hardcore fans. And hardcore, people that are hardcore into anything, I'm hardcore into mobile technology. I don't talk that with everybody. I mean, I've never gone up to somebody randomly and said, hey, did you hear about whatever it is, and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, acting like as
well,
if they want
to
talk.
Obviously,
about
you don't go up to somebody in like a, you know, a Steno bum and be like,
yeah, but you could do that with baseball.
Well,
you can do that with baseball
in St. Louis. To certain
you
people,
can,
yeah.
You can talk to a meth head on the street.
No,
about, yeah,
no,
oh,
not
do you
meth
want to prove
heads.
This? We'll do a bonus episode. We can go downtown and we'll talk to meth heads about the car.
Why do we need to go downtown? We can just look under the bridge here in St. Charles.
Oh, that's an excellent
like
point.
Like 300
yeah.
yards away,
a couple of tents. Yeah,
yeah.
No,
they're down there with a scruffy dog and a couple cans of beans.
A scruffy dog named Willis.
Yeah, just wait to tell.
The dog's named Willis. And what are the two people's names?
Named Willie McGee. That's what the dog's name is.
It's Willie McGee, right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just waiting to tell you about how, you know, 82 was the best year for baseball ever.
Well, it was.
Oh, was it? Why was 82 the best year for baseball?
Because I wasn't alive.
No.
That's why.
Cardinals won the World Series that year.
I knew that. I know. I'm a huge baseball fan.
Next huge, story. Big in the sports world and such. Go ahead, do what you're.
No,
next
yeah,
thing
that's
you're
fine.
Do.
This next story is from Wired.com. The headline is: the U.S. is losing control of the internet. I think I brought this up the other night, actually, when I was talking to you.
Well, has the internet been staying up past his bedtime again?
It has. And all these groups have come together to put it to bed at the right time.
It's listening to the devil's music and dating a hairy biker.
Is that the worst thing that a daughter could do to her
smoking,
father?
Smoking cigarettes and talking back to its mom.
I've done that. I've done both of those things.
Yeah, me too.
Most of the talking back.
Well, yeah.
I talked back a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah. You a smart ass? No, come on.
Shut up.
Say it ain't That's so. Not,
you're mo- I feel like you're mocking me.
Oh, no, 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 no. Buzz, look an alien!
Whatever. You're a jerk. In a statement, the group called for accelerating the globalization of ICANN and IANA functions towards an environment in which all stakeholders, including all governments, participate on an equal footing. That's a distinct change from the current situation where the U.S. Department of Commerce has oversight of ICANN. Now, for our listeners and for you as well, Matt, ICANN is if anything, they're sort of a regulatory body in terms of the internet. They're the ones that regulate domain names. They say you can't charge more than this much for a domain name. They're the ones that say here's the terms as far as domains are a year to 5 years to 10. You know, they oversee all of that kind of thing. In another part of the statement, the group, quote, expressed strong concern over the undermining of the trust and confidence of internet users globally due to recent revelations of pervasive monitoring and surveillance. Meanwhile, it was announced that the next Internet Governance Summit would be held in Brazil, whose president has been extremely, as you noted earlier on the show, whose president has been extremely critical of the U.S. over web surveillance.
Yeah.
So basically what we've done, or what Snowden has done, or whoever you want to put the...
Well, a lot of different people over the years.
Yeah, but the revelation has come clean. It's kind of out in the open that we look at everything that everyone does online as the United States. And the rest of the world is not cool with that, as they shouldn't be. And so they're meeting together and they're saying, well, the United States has kind of a large governing presence right now when it comes to the internet, and we don't want that to be the case going forward. So that's basically the story there. Your thoughts? If any?
No, I don't have any thoughts on that.
Yeah. Good on you. Go Brazil.
No, it's just that
Brazil.
Brazil is definitely pissed off about the United States monitoring the internet, which they should be. We've had this discussion before. The United States kind of needs to back off, but that won't happen. Everybody knows that that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
the United States doesn't. When you know they take a step into your living room, they don't take a step back.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they're just taking steps till they get to your gun cabinet, and then you know,
yeah,
they're get on your computer to get your internet access to the get on the gun cabinets and take away your rights. Anyway.
Well, I'll be on alert for that.
Obamacare.
Obamacare takes your guns. I think that's on page 532.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They even do
Once you're in Obamacare, you have no more accent. Guns. That's all it says. It just says
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. that's step one in Obamacare. Take the guns.
Yeah. And step one is enacted on page 500. It's the in the beginning, it's just a foreword by Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. On why Barack Obama was deserving of the
Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah.
He totally wasn't, though.
No, he really wasn't. When, even if you're a fan of the guy, what? So early on? Like, you could say that at the end of these 8 years, maybe, if you're looking back on whatever. I don't even know what you'd say at that point.
Well, it's probably one of those years where it's like, man, you know, you got to give it to somebody. Why give it to the people that are, like, you know, curing cancer and helping the sick and the starving.
Yeah, or scientific innovations or
Are you advocating for scientific innovation? Like giving awards to people?
Yeah, I am.
What if it's astronomy?
Ooh. Depends on what kind of astronomy.
Okay.
If we're putting telescopes in classrooms, good thing.
All right.
Sending people to space, bad thing. Okay. Sending a monkey to space, good thing.
Okay. What if NASA and a team of scientists at NASA had developed faster than light travel? Are they deserving of the Nobel Prize? Pointless, you say.
Why would you want to go faster than light?
Well,
it's the coolest thing ever.
You could cut down, you could travel between the stars within
a person's lifetime. Why? What do you need to go to a star for?
To see what's there.
Just take a bus to Detroit.
But
go there instead.
But do buses to Detroit go to other solar systems or to other star systems?
Well, in a way. Have you seen Detroit?
I mean, I know it's kind of another world, but...
It is another world, yeah. Yeah, what do you need to go to another star for?
See what's there. Because it might be different star. From what there.
It's empty. There's no people out there.
How do you know there's not... Well, maybe not people, as like human
people.
Well,
there's no aliens.
But there might be aliens. There's no life forms out there. How do you know that?
Because they would have come and hung out for a while already.
They would have?
They would have.
How do you know that?
Because they're... Well, because they're not there. If they were there, they would have come and hung out.
Okay. Well, what if they're less technologically advanced than we are, and they
then I guess it's up on them to come up with light speed travel.
What if we're the first ones?
Well, we've got speed stick deodorant. It's pretty good down here.
Come up with faster than light speed travel.
What if we're the ones that are supposed to?
Well, what if we're the first ones to do it? So what if we're the most advanced civilization in the galaxy, in the universe?
So what?
And we're the ones who develop faster than light speed travel.
Okay.
And give the universe faster than light speed travel. What if we're the ones who develop, like, you know, the...
I'll take this point by point.
The Mass Effect relays.
If you think that we are the most advanced civilization in the galaxy...
You just said there's no other civilizations in the galaxy, so we must be the most advanced civilization in the galaxy.
If you think we're the most advanced civilization in the galaxy, after this show...
I didn't say we were.
Hold on. After this show, I want you to go to Tumblr.
Okay. .com
All right. And just spend about 2 hours just perusing.
Okay.
And then come back and tell me that we're the most advanced civilization in the galaxy.
Okay.
Even with no other galaxy.
I think I'd rather drive a toothpick underneath my big thumbnail here.
Ooh.
Then,
why did you have to say that? My hands hurt now.
Yeah, I know. That something sharp going underneath your fingernail is one of the most acute pains that you can know.
Yeah, really, man. My back is like
crawling.
Everybody
who has experienced it and everybody knows that's one of the worst pains.
Man, that sounds painful.
Yeah,
you're a jerk for saying that.
You know.
Anyways, no. Yeah, there's no aliens. They would have hung out. They would have, like, we would know.
Well, if there are no aliens, how do you explain George Stakoulis's hair?
Who's that?
The guy from the Aliens meme.
I don't know.
The History Channel Aliens.
Oh, that, yeah.
The guy from the Aliens meme.
Okay. You know? How do I explain it?
Yeah, how do you explain his hair?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So you're attributing it to aliens, then?
Yeah, I think that's the strongest evidence there
is.
Well,
we do have crop circles.
Crop circles aren't, it's not conclusive evidence. It's not nothing concrete.
I think the Girl Scouts did the crop circles.
Yeah, I think it was just a bunch of drunks.
Just in general, yeah.
It's just a bunch of drunks that started like in the 40s.
But anyways, going back, there's no aliens. Why wouldn't we know by now?
How do you know?
It's 2013.
You don't know that there aren't aliens.
But we don't know that there are.
Exactly. So it's...
So aliens are kind of like God. Scientifically, biologically speaking, aliens are like God.
But there's still a chance that they might exist.
Yeah, just like there is for God.
Well, okay, but...
Same thing. Biology, man. Science. Loch Ness. Moving
on. God is by definition outside of science.
Yeah, but you still can't prove it. Maybe aliens are too.
No.
If they're hyper-spiritual beings.
Then they'd be gods. But I didn't say they're hyper-spiritual beings. I said they could be.
I'm saying maybe they are,
though. Any sort of life form.
Like outside of the
Earth? Carbon-based life form. Biological life form.
Okay. Okay.
It's a physical life form. It's not I'm not talking about spiritual, ethereal life. I'm talking, or multi-dimensional life.
Or beings that are based
in. Which is probably what God is, most likely, if God exists. I'm just saying that it's.
Do you not think God exists?
I don't know if God exists. One thing I can't say for certain. I can't say yes, it
does.
Do
you worship him?
Is
he the Lord of your life?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Moving on. This article is from The Telegraph. The headline is, "The sun is setting," and this article is fascinating. If anything, go, listeners and you, Matt, go click this link, read the whole thing. I wanted to quote the whole thing, but it's interesting.
It's sizable. Okay.
It's from The Telegraph. The sun is setting on dollar supremacy, and with it, American power. And basically, it's kind of an opinion piece, but it's based on some of the things that the Chinese have recently said about our control of the dollar and things like that. Here's what I pulled out, and I figured we could talk about. Now, in the paragraph before this one, he's talking about the international dissatisfaction with the dollar and how it's kind of always been there, but now it's reaching a new level. So that explains the start to this sentence. Yet rarely before has international dissatisfaction with the dollar's role as reserve currency to the world been as great as it is now. The most visible anger comes from China, with more than $3 trillion of dollar foreign exchange reserves, $1.3 trillion of them held in U.S. treasuries. For ordinary Chinese, it has come as a revelation to discover they own so much American debt, that they own it in a country which, because of political brinkmanship, may actually default, has provoked understandable fury. Serious alternatives to the dollar, such as a global reserve currency, are still a long way off, but the latest shenanigans on Capitol Hill... That's just the Brits thumbing their nose at us. But the latest shenanigans on Capitol Hill...
Why? I mean, it is shenanigans.
No, it totally is, yeah. Have given the search for them renewed and added momentum. The U.S., and this sentence, ugh, the U.S. is recklessly throwing away its future.
Yeah.
So you agree entirely?
Yeah, because nobody cares, and everybody who is in a position to do something about it is just running after the scraps. Of what is going to be left over when the whole thing falls apart. Boom, nailed it. Next conversation, next topic. That's it, right there, in a nutshell.
Yeah, if I could make one more point, it would be that for the longest time, probably in my lifetime, I'm 25 years old, probably in my lifetime, I don't feel like there's been maybe a U.S. president even or members of legislative members, things like that, that are in power that actually care that we're borrowing a lot of money. And that to me is something that in my own personal life, it's always worried me. I don't have a credit card right now. When I did, I kept like $200-$300 on it tops. It was a way to get between paychecks, things like that. And even when I did, I'm like, I owe them $200. Like I had an itching. Like it was just like, I owe them $200. I owe them $200. I can't buy that. I owe them $200. I can't spend this. I can't do that. This next paycheck has to go here. I owe them $200, which is wise, I think, to look at it that way, you know. And even if you're so inclined, even in the Bible, it says the person that the borrower is a slave to the lender. That's just how it works. If I loan you $50, you're mine till I get that $50 in some terms, you know. And I just don't think anybody in power even gives that a thought. Does that, you know, like I don't think they do at all. And why not? Like I would think that would be huge, like over almost any other problem or your whatever you want to call it, or issue or stance or whatever that you want to rally on or fight for or get elected on. Like that's a big deal, the amount of money that we're borrowing. And mm-hmm. the people that we're borrowing it from are not going to be okay with us borrowing it forever. They might be now. They might be for the next 5 years. They might be for the next 10 years. They might be for the next whatever.
Yeah.
But they won't be forever, and we're making no effort to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
And that concerns me. That really concerns me as an American who's a quarter of a century old.
Yeah. Well, we're a military-industrial complex who also has supporting a massive welfare state.
Well, and yeah, you can point spending to everything. And, I mean, that's writing checks.
Yeah, I mean that. I think those are the two biggest culprits.
You're probably right.
Social programs. The fact that we're a welfare nanny state, and the fact that we're putting so much money into military security and technological security, which you need to make sure you spend wisely. Mm-hmm. When you need to make sure you're secure, but you spend money on defense, but you also need to. You know, $1 spent wisely on defense is much better than $10 spent frivolously.
Yeah.
And wisdom at all.
Something I don't think they understand. Lowest bidder.
Yeah. And for
we don't get that at all.
For 50 years, we've spent $10 unwisely mm-hmm. and on every part of our military spending.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thrown money at the equation. And we need to spend a little bit better that way. The biggest culprit is we need to stop invading countries already.
Mm-hmm.
We need to just mind our own business.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that certainly would save a lot of money, that's for sure, and new wars and things like that.
It's like killing your neighbor's grass so that he stays off your lawn, you know?
That's a good analogy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of...
Well, it's not excellent, but it's good.
it's a passable analogy, yeah. Matt.
Seven out of ten.
Upset, really? That's a strong number. I would have said more like a 4.5 out of 10.
Ooh,
as far as analogies
that's bad,
go.
Bad then.
Well, I mean, it's not bad. It's definitely not poor, but it's average. It's average.
Uh huh.
Okay. It's a little bit below average.
Yeah.
You know, it's good.
Mm.
Good-ish.
Good-ish?
Yeah.
That's some good-ish.
Mm-hmm. Man, you made some good-ish. Anyway, yeah.
That's been uttered in a Cracker Barrel more than once.
Yeah. stupid spending.
Yeah.
We need to stop giving everybody money
like I was saying,
for doing nothing.
That's the point I was going to make a second ago. Lowest bidder? Like, if you own a home and you're going to build a deck on your home, you get in the Yellow Pages. Or for you kids.
No,
you
don't.
For you kids.
No, you don't.
For you kids, you get on that there Google and you just look yourself up a contractor. And you have three of them come over.
Or if you're a real man, you look up, you know, plans to do it on the internet and you do it yourself.
Well, that's a good point. But anyways, let's say you don't have the time or whatever. You have three people come over and they look at it and they look where you want the deck and you tell them how big the deck's going to be and they look at the whole thing and they say, oh, this is how much it'll be.
Yeah.
And you go with the lowest bidder based on their previous work.
Mm-hmm.
Or the middle guy based on the you get what you pay for.
What you're describing
and
here
we don't do that.
Using wisdom and discretion in your decision making.
Well, thank you.
But when was the last time the United States government used wisdom and discretion to do anything?
Actually,
do you have a calendar
from
1962?
Hold on, I've got it written down here.
Okay.
Hold on. It's blank.
Yeah.
I had it written down.
1775, I think, is the date you're looking for. July 1st, 1776, perhaps.
It's just that first initial secession, and it's all been downhill from there.
You know what, guys? Let's revolt. Oh, jolly good time then.
Yeah.
And they revolted.
Sounds like a plan. Don't like tea anyways.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. Yeah. Anyways, there's the story. It upsets me that no party looks at that either. And even now when the spending is front and center, it's really all about politics and who's going to get their way.
Like I said before, it's
but what the hell,
who are
man?
In power and
I've
got to
grow up in this country
thing.
And deal with this debt, and my kids are one day hopefully going to go to college and get jobs and pay taxes and on and on. I hope my future children will better pay taxes. But what's come on? You're burying me and us and my family for many years to come.
Mm-hmm.
That's the long and short.
Well, it doesn't matter as long as the people who have the power or have the ability to change things aren't doing anything to change it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And just one to reiterate something I've said on the show before. Again, if you're out there pointing fingers at the other side,
you're part of the problem.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a systematic problem. Maybe it's one side's fault more than the other. Maybe it's not. Probably it's not, because mm-hmm. It's the fault of both sides. But then again, you know, 9 out of 10 people who are saying, oh, this government shutdown is crazy, the government needs to all be fired, they're going to go, and in November, they're going to pull the lever for the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to elect the guy who... Nine times out of ten, they're going to elect the person
who brought us to this shutdown.
Had the job the previous cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to stop. That needs to not happen. We need to elect new people across the board in every position.
Mm-hmm.
And get some of this old power, which is and basically just old money, out of the equation.
Yeah. What is that noise?
It's Glee in the next room. Your wife watching Glee. I'm not thrilled about it either, but it's there. It's happening. And there's nothing... We've been doing this show for, what, 45 minutes now?
I haven't heard it this whole time, though.
Really? Well, you've had the headphones on.
I can only hear it from time to time.
Well,
see, I can't hear it
now. Yeah, shh.
Yeah, see, it's gone.
Well, it's probably dialogue now.
It's a Glee mystery.
It's a Glee mystery.
It's a
Glimstery.
It's a Gleestery.
It's a waste of airtime.
Yeah, it totally is. Fox, come on, guys.
Come on, Fox.
A singing show?
Putting a show on the air that people will watch and millions of people enjoy. What are you thinking?
Yeah, but there's something to be said for quality, Matt.
Yeah, putting a show on that advertisers will pay a tremendous amount of money to be involved with. Come on. We trying to run a business here? Jeez.
It should all be Bryan Cranston and Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Because Fox has had such a stellar reputation for so many years to providing the best and
they are the ones. They are the ones that have pulled the plug on a number of shows that have pissed off some huge cult followings.
Freaks and Geeks, Firefly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? Stargate SG-1.
Was that Fox?
I think it was Stargate Atlantis. I think so, yeah.
There was something else, though, pretty Terra popular. Terra
Nova. No, I think that might have been ABC.
Wasn't that... Didn't Terra Nova was the terrible. Sarah Connor Chronicles have a pretty big following, too?
I don't know.
Well, you're not into the Terminator universe, I don't think.
Not really.
Yeah.
No, I'm in the real universe, not the Terminator one.
Well, we're all in the Terminator one, man.
Terminate this.
This next story, we'll make it the final story.
Okay.
Brought to the table by yours truly, from the New York Post. Crew members, Captain Phillips is one big lie.
Yeah, the whole movie.
Now, what I pulled out of this and what I saw was interesting, and maybe you had another angle or another point that you wanted to make or just something curious. But apparently, so he's played, in the movie, he's depicted as a kind of a heroic, let's get this done. Let's roll, everybody band together. And I've got
following all the safety protocols, things
yes,
like that.
Yes, yes. And here's the part that I pulled from the article.
Except somebody went and talked to the crew.
Well, yeah,
ship.
And that's who I'm quoting here is the crew. No one wants to sail with him, he says. Yeah. After the hijacking, 11 crew members have sued Maersk, or whatever it is, Maersk Line, and the Waterman Steamship Corp for almost $50 million, alleging, quote, willful, wanton, and conscious disregard for their safety.
Yeah.
And that's 11 members. That's not one disgruntled dude.
Yeah. Well, apparently the guy is a self-aggrandizing drunk who doesn't give a crap about the safety of his crew.
And this is the thing. Get this. So everyone knew about the Somali pirates, right? The quote, the crew had begged Captain Phillips not to go so close to the Somali coast, said Deborah Waters, the attorney who brought the claim. He told them he wouldn't let pirates scare him or force him to sail away from the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So his thing is, well, I'm not sailing away from the coast. I'm sailing where I darn well please.
Yeah.
Right into the hands of the pirates.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So is it really a good movie even? Is it making money or what is...
Yeah, it's making quite a bit of money. But
how against Gravity?
Because I think question. It's becoming in number two the past 2 weeks.
This one has
Captain Phillips. Yeah.
Because Gravity apparently is crushing.
Yeah, but it's gotten some good reviews and, based on a true story. And it's all supposed to be true events, except, talk to everybody else involved besides Captain Phillips... Personally,
now was he involved in the making? That's my question.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So this is kind of a little bit of his Hollywood shrine to himself.
Maybe not, but it's definitely.
Either way, if this is the account on the other side, you're going by his account one way or the other.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So,
or was there a book even, or is it just?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because it was only a year or two ago.
Yeah, yeah. Because it doesn't surprise me this thing got rushed through. There are
Things
no original stories left
quick.
In Hollywood. Well, there are no original stories left in Hollywood.
I still haven't seen Zero Dark Thirty. I was weirded out that it was that quick.
Well,
I
would
really
something
was.
Interesting happen since there are no original stories in Hollywood anymore? When something interesting in real life happens, we of course have to make a movie about it.
Yeah, but how do you reconcile that, especially with families and things like that? Like, I wouldn't.
I
guess Hollywood doesn't care, I guess. But, yeah. I don't know. I can't imagine. Ugh, I don't know. It gives me a weird feeling. I don't like it. Like I said, Zero Dark Thirty, ordinarily a movie that I'd probably be pumped to see.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I don't know that I will. I just don't. That weirds me out when they do that, that close to the event.
See, what really annoys me is our movies like White House Down.
Okay.
And what is it? Olympus Has Fallen,
mm-hmm.
about like the president.
The exact same thing in the same blockbuster summer. Yeah.
Like the White House being bombed and the president has to go out and kick ass,
Yeah.
Like Harrison Ford in Air Force One. Like, I'm sorry, but I do not want an action hero president. I don't want Bruce Willis
as a president
or Arnold Schwarzenegger as a president. You know what I want as a president? How about a movie? How about a Hollywood movie where the president goes out, like gets up, has his morning coffee, and then makes sound fiscal decisions for the rest of the day, and makes decisions that ensure
and reaches
liberty.
Across the party line.
Tries to help the government run and
solves problems.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And takes kids on walks.
Well, I don't care if he takes his kids on walks.
Just the country.
Yeah, yeah. He's got 8 years with us. Okay,
he should take the country.
Sasha
on
and
walks.
Malia will. They can.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine without
and
a
let's
daddy
be honest,
for 8 years.
They're little girls. This is the worst time to be in a little girl's life. This is the worst part, man.
You think?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because aren't they like early, like late, single digits, early teens?
I think so. I would say.
Just a mess in a woman's head at that point.
a number on their age, I would say like 13 and 16, something like that.
Is it
13 to 15, maybe?
Yeah. In a woman's life? Oh, that's the worst, man.
Yeah.
Because a dude
every day
age,
in a woman's life is the worst day in a woman's life.
Like, a dude, you just ask her. A dude.
It just generally sucks to be a woman. We all know it. We're men and we're grateful.
No, it's true.
We're men and we're grateful.
Well, see, and the thing is, a boy going through puberty, your biggest concern is you just have to be like, no, don't put that in there.
Yeah.
That's what you have to constantly tell him. Right.
Take your hand off that.
Yeah.
Get your finger out of there.
Yeah. Just leave that alone. Don't look at that. Mm-hmm. Those types of things.
Yeah.
A woman going through puberty, she's concerned.
And wash or crack. Like those are the things you have to tell a teenage boy.
She's concerned with her friends, how she's perceived.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole physiological, biological, emotional,
whether
hormonal,
or not she can make a good cheesecake.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Whether this mini skirt makes her butt look fat.
Correctly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Whether or not she's ever going to be good at making sandwiches.
Yeah.
Whether or not her hips will be able to bear children.
Whether she can make a good gravy.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yep.
She needs to be able to make a good gravy and get just the right amount of peanut butter on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
These are all life skills that girls
and
in their teens are worried
just
about.
Flooded with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because how are they going to find a husband unless
they
know
can make
just
a good
to put
gravy.
The perfect amount of peanut butter on a peanut butter jelly sandwich or make a good gravy?
Because too much sticks to the roof of your mouth.
Too much and it tears the bread
roof
apart.
Of the mouth. Yep.
You know, you got to have
too
a
little,
good ratio.
It's all jelly. Tastes weird.
Or too much bread.
Yep, that's true. Then you're just eating bread. Yeah. Yeah.
I like in peanut butter. On a sandwich, peanut butter jelly sandwich, I like just enough so that you get a little bit stuck between like your cheek and your back molars, and not so much that it catches in your throat on the way down.
So it's a snack,
you know,
later
saying?
On. You just clean it out of your molars. Yeah.
Well, you have an extra like 5 minutes after the sandwich is done to just like pick your teeth with your tongue and just get all that peanut butter and sweet sugary goodness.
Well, this
is
turning gross, number one, and this is the most sexist episode we've ever recorded.
I know. Once again, we're ending on food
and sexism
and bigotry and sexism
and
chauvinism.
So pretty much a standard show. Forgive that some thought.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week.
We hate
week.
You cooking and your gender.
We'll see you next
and
week
I love peanut butter.
For more sexism.
Boop, 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 doop, boop. Goodbye, Audio Land.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.